We're very delighted to have Mrs. Fleming with us. Her husband's still in Ukraine at the present moment, and he's working there. But we pray that God will bless you now as you testify of the saving grace of God in your life.
Thank you. I just want to thank Mr. McRae for the invitation to the church tonight, and also for the church for the support they've been to Donald and myself and the Faith in Action Missions team. I just want to thank you for all you do for him in his name. At the minute, Donald and the team are out in Ukraine, and we've had brilliant news this week that there's been a lot of souls saved in the drug and rehabilitation centre, and we just praise God for that. It's wonderful to hear that news. They fly home tomorrow, and they should be home tomorrow night about 9 o'clock, and I would just pray for Journey and Mercies, if you could pray as well for them. I appreciate that. But I'm here tonight to tell you how I came to know and love the Lord Jesus. He's done so much for me in my life, and I can't thank him enough for what he's done. And I just would like to turn to a scripture reading. It's very precious to me, because it's through this scripture that I got saved. And you'll find it in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13 to 17. And I'll just read it for you. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Aren't they lovely words? Just really precious to my heart. Well, for those who don't know me, my name's Jacqueline Fleming. I was born and brought up in Belfast, and I had the real privilege to be born into a Christian family, a born again Christian mother and father. And it was just wonderful to have them. They brought me up in a great way, church and Sunday school every week. And yet, I had no real interest in God. I didn't even want to know about him. I was actually quite bored in church. And as I say, I was sent every week. And when I turned 16, I thought, that's it, I'm not going back. I have no interest in God. I don't want to know. I want to try the things of the world. It seems more exciting to me. And it wasn't long after that I met Donald. He was in the army. I met him 16 years of age, and he was in the army, and we went out. And not only that, we took him home to the house, and it was quite a shock for my mother, because not only was he was in the army, but he was a Roman Catholic, and he loved to drink. So it was quite a shock to my family bringing this drunk soldier home to the house, you know. But my mom and dad, they tried to show him a bit of love and compassion, which they always did with anybody I brought home. And a year later, I decided I was getting married. And I married Donald at 17. But a year after that, when I turned 18, my dad took cancer. And it was a very, very hard time for the whole family. And I just thought, how am I ever going to get through this? And you know, I didn't even think about God then, because I always thought in my heart, well, I'm good enough. I'm going to heaven. I was brought up in a good family. But let me tell you this, people here, if you're sitting here and you're thinking the same, you're not going to heaven. If you haven't repented of your sins, there's no way you'll be going to heaven. And then I just thought, well, I'll see my daddy again one day and that'll be fine and I'm good enough. But it was hard to say my dad died of the cancer, and very soon after that, Donald and myself moved to Scotland to live. And life just got worse, because I thought it was going to be great, having a wee bit of the world and a wee bit of drink, although I didn't really like a lot of drink, but I was still happy with Donald. But what I didn't realise is when I went to live in Scotland, that not only Donald enjoyed the drink, but his whole family were alcoholics. And it was terrible. Coming from a Christian family, I just wasn't used to that life at all. And I thought, Lord, I didn't think of the Lord at that time, but I did used to pray, and yet God didn't hear my prayers, because the first prayer is the prayer of repentance. But he didn't hear my prayers, but I kept praying, God, I wish you would just change Donald. I wish you would get him to stop drinking. I can't stand this life anymore. And one time I turned around and I said to Donald, if you don't stop drinking, I'm going to leave you. And he actually turned around and said to me, you know what, you should have married a Christian. I just can't, you know, you should have just married a Christian if you wanted that sort of life. You know, be careful what you say, because, as I say, the Lord can just turn it round on you. And he did on Donald's behalf. Because in 1993, Donald went to work with this man called Joe. In his work, he was in the police at this stage. And, you know, Joe kept witnessing to Donald and kept telling him he needed to be born again. Donald wasn't interested. He sent him away. He says, I don't want to hear about it. And, you know, at that stage, I was bringing my three girls up on my own. That's what it felt like, because Donald was so interested in drink. I was bringing my girls up to go to Sunday school the way I was brought up and trying to teach them the right way in life. But as I say, it felt like I was doing everything on my own, because Donald was just... Every time we had a day off work, it was like, where can I get this bottle of vodka for? I want to have my drink. And it was just really, really hard going. But this man, Joe, kept on witnessing to Donald, telling him the need of a saviour. And then in 1993, as I say, I went into hospital to have an operation. And when I come out of hospital, Donald says to me, I've something to tell you. And I says to him, oh dear, what's he been up to this time with a drink or whatever? And he just says, Jacqueline, I've got saved. And you know, I'm ashamed to say I laughed. I laughed because I didn't believe him. And yet I was happy, because I thought, well, at least I'm going to get peace from the alcohol. At least I'm going to get a bit of peace in my life. So I was pleased. But in the next couple of weeks, I seen such a change in Donald. And he started to witness to me. And he says, Jacqueline, you know, you have to get right with the Lord. You have to get saved. You'll not be going to heaven if you don't repent. And I says, Donald, I don't want to hear this. I've been brought up in this. Like, I know I'm good enough. I'm fine. Leave me alone. And he kept on, but I ignored him. And I just thought to myself, why should I listen to him? He's given me a hard life. Why should I listen to him now? Me a bit stubborn. Just a little bit. And I just thought, why should I listen to him? And anyhow, he started to leave tracts about for me, for to read, underline them. But again, I wouldn't read them. And then one night, as I say, I was lying in bed. I wasn't long out of hospital after an operation, and I couldn't sleep. And I thought, I'll go downstairs and I'll maybe watch a bit of television. So I went downstairs, put the television on, and was drawn to the table where the track was. But I was being torn in two. I just really felt an awful torn, you know, that I wanted to watch the television, but yet I was being drawn to this table where the track was. And I thought, well, if I read this tract, you know, it'll keep Donald off my back. I can say to him tomorrow, I've read the tract. Now, don't talk to me again about God. I don't want to know. So, as I say, it went on like this for, it must have seemed like a half an hour, maybe longer, that I was putting the TV on, watching, looking at the track, and eventually I picked the track up to read it. And it was about the Lord's return. And this is where this portion of scripture is so special to me. Because, as I say, it told me how that, you know, if the Lord came back tomorrow, I wouldn't be going to heaven. Not only would I not see my earthly father, but I wouldn't be with my eternal father forever. And it just broke my heart. In the living room in my own house, I just thought, Lord, I'm so sorry for my sins. Just, I wanted the Lord in my life, and I repented of my sins in my living room and asked him to forgive me. I woke Donald up, by the way. I woke up at 4 o'clock in the morning, but I don't think he minded. I said to Donald, I've been saved, and it was just praise the Lord. It was really great. So then we got involved in different things in the church, activities with different children. Sunday school, teaching Sunday school. You know, life was great. We just enjoyed it. We had our ups and downs, like everybody does. You still have your ups and downs, but life was just great. We were so happy. And then in 1993, we got a phone call from a man who was bringing 100 Russian children over. And he says, how would you like to take a couple of Russian children in for Christmas? And I thought, well, we're having 14, but I suppose another two will not matter. So we said, no problem, we'll take them. We'll find somewhere for them. So we took two young girls in for Christmas. Now, we couldn't speak any Russian at all, and they couldn't speak any English. But we had the best Christmas ever with them. But the thing about it was, we found it very hard because we couldn't tell them about the Lord. That's the part that we found hard. These children weren't saved. And we thought, how are we going to tell them about God? And it was heartbreaking whenever they had to leave us. And we were told we weren't allowed contact with these children when they went away back to Russia. But the young children says, look, there's our address. Keep in touch with us. So we did. We kept in touch with them. And about 5-6 months after that, we heard a team was going over to Belarus, where they came from. And they said, would you like to come with us to see the girls? And also, we're doing a mission trip out there as well, if you'd like to come. We said, we'd love to do that. So we went out to Belarus. First time I was ever in a foreign country in my life. I'd never even had a passport. But anyhow, it was great just to go over, and we met the children. And then we went to work in a place called Zhodna in Belarus. And that was really, really hard, because there were so many people in need in that country, especially in there with people with multiple sclerosis. They were living in high-rise flats. The government didn't look after them. They were living in their own squalor. They didn't have incontinence pads. They didn't have nothing to keep them clean. And it was just heartbreaking to see them lying like that. And anyhow, we went away from there heartbroken, thinking, what on earth can we do for them, Lord? And we went into, from there, to orphanages, and it just got worse. We just thought, this is terrible. I mean, all this is happening. Why is people not helping them? Why is God's people not helping? But there might have been, I don't know, at that time, there might have been other people helping, but at that time it felt like there was nobody helping them. So we came back and we started praying, and everything we read, any time we went to a meeting, it just seemed to speak about reaching orphans or reaching the sick. And we really felt the Lord speaking to us. So then we decided, from the Lord's guidance, that we would go out to these countries and try and help them as best we could. We don't have much, but God has lots of money. He has everything in this world, and he owns everything in this world, and he can help people. And you know, ever since that, we worked from Belarus. We went there, we got carers to look after the MS, and there's been so many saved. We've seen such a blessing, seeing so many saved throughout the years. From there, we went to Ukraine to work. We got a call into Ukraine. And we worked with people with alcohol problems. And I think it's great, because Donald can talk to them. He can reach them in any way that maybe a normal person couldn't. You know, so he was going to be able to talk there. And there was souls saved this week. Praise the Lord for that. So we work with, in Ukraine, we work in hospitals. We work in orphanages. We work in alcohol and drugs rehabilitation centres. And we work in a Christian school. And it's just, what the work seems to be getting bigger and bigger, and we're getting older and older. But but we seem to be managing. God's given us the strength to keep going. And now, just recently, in the last couple of months, we've been asked to go into Romania to work there also. So we need more helpers if anybody wants to come and help. But it's been great. We just praise the Lord for everything he's done in our lives. You know, he's changed my life so much. See, since 1993, I can't believe what's happened. And yet I should, and I do believe it now. But looking back over the years, I think, why did I not get saved earlier? You know, why did I waste so many of my years? And you know, if there's anybody here tonight and they're not saved, you know, if their husband's a drinker, their wife's a drinker, whatever, you know, don't give up hope. You know, because the Lord can save them. And you know, we see, once you are saved, it can change your life so much. There's so much to do for the Lord. It's not about just coming to church and sitting in church, which is important too, to come and sit and pray. But there's so much out there we can do for people. So much people needing our help. And I just thank the Lord for it. And as I say again, I would just urge you, Lord, while the word's getting preached tonight, Lord, just really listen to the word and take it on board and get saved. Don't leave it any longer, for now you've accepted time for salvation. Don't leave it any longer. Thank you, and God bless you.